beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls unless we ask you to call, because I want to tell you an amazing story. We have an amazing guest this afternoon. You know, it was 43, almost 44 years ago when I first learned that the media in America was controlled. Now, that was so difficult for me to believe. And yet, as I began reading the newspapers, and I would compare articles, the same article, the same Associated Press article in one newspaper and another, and somebody would delete words or phrases, obviously trying to change the meaning of articles. And as the years have gone by, it's become so obvious that it's so difficult to find the truth of what's going on. If we have somebody, for instance, who writes a book that really tells the truth about, well, let me, about the boys we left behind in Vietnam. Monica Jensen Stevenson wrote a wonderful book called Kiss the Boys Goodbye. Did very well until somebody gave orders that the book was to be called back, and I know that I talked to people at a local bookstore. The book was called back, and then, of course, all the copies were collected from across the country, and then they were not distributed. Well, Monica eventually got the rights to her book back because it was an excellent book about the men we abandoned over in Vietnam, and, of course, the CIA involvement in the drug trading. But they couldn't allow that information to get out, so Monica moved up to Canada and got another publisher to publish the book, and somebody immediately came in and bought up the publisher and accidentally just destroyed. They destroyed 5,000 copies of the book, actually just shredded them. They just ran into a shredder by themselves. Same thing happened to Professor Carol Quigley, who wrote the book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, back in 1966. It was a wonderful book, and it told the story about the secret society that controls America and its origins. And somebody bought up his publisher, Macmillan, and destroyed the place to the first half of the book. And we actually have his story. You can hear me tell, or him to actually tell the story in our four-tape set on the secret government. And of course, you can hear Monica Jensen Stevens' story in our two-tape sets. One of them is called The Men We Left Behind, and the other is entitled Spite House. It is a story of one man returned, the story of Bobby Garwood. So, but there's other means by which you can get people to get books off the market, as they did with Monica's second book. They brought a lawsuiter against her, and they trumped up charges. They got somebody to sue her, and eventually, of course, the publisher pulled the book. Well, the same thing has happened with Chris Milligan, who's our guest today. He is a publisher, and he published a book by Daniel Marvin, Colonel Marvin, Lieutenant Colonel Marvin, who was the Special Forces. It's a fascinating book about his illicit activities working on covert operations in Vietnam. But they can't let the American people realize what really goes on behind the scenes and in secret. And so a lawsuit was filed against not only Colonel Marvin, but against the publisher, Chris Milligan. I'm going to let him tell you the story. Chris, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, sir.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about why it was that you published Colonel Marvin's book, you believe the book was true, and then, of course, what was done to destroy your publishing house and your business?
Well, you know, one of the big reasons that I published Colonel Marvin's book was because, it's kind of a long story, but because of my father. I said it right in the back of the book in the publisher's afterword that, you know, because of my father being a recalcitrant CIA officer whose publicly avowed reason for leaving the CIA was because his predilection for the ends justifies the means.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Chris Milligan, who publishes books, and we carry a number of the books that he's published. One of them is called The Expendable Elite, written by Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, who was with Special Forces and committed all sorts of, well, when you're in Special Forces and you're fighting a war and you think you're fighting for your country and you love your country, why, you'll do a lot of things that probably you wouldn't do under other circumstances. And he was involved in many things that some of them he can't even talk about to this day, but certainly he was asked to assassinate the prime minister, the king of Cambodia. This was one of his assignments. And what he tells an incredible story in his book, The Expendable Elite. But because the Special Forces did not want this information to get out, and our government and the CIA, which of course controls the Special Forces, didn't want to get the information out, they actually brought a lawsuit against the publisher and against Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin. You see, we cannot let the American people know the truth. And so with us is Chris Milligan, the publisher, and he was saying that, Chris is saying, he published Colonel Marvin's book because his own father had been in the CIA. Why don't you pick up the story there, Chris?
Okay, and so I understood the you know, the burden that people carry with these covert missions.
And of course, your father really was pretty fed up with the dishonesty of the CIA and its corruption, wasn't he?
Yes. He'd been involved, you know, since I found out. You know, he'd been involved as part of a State Department asset. Then he was in OSS. He was sheep dipped and put into G2. He'd been on MacArthur's staff. He'd been branch chief head of all of East Asia. And so he was fairly well versed with what they were doing. And he left basically because of the drug running. He didn't want to be involved with that.
I mean, the CIA was involved in drug running.
Yes. And so I understood, you know, the need to tell this story because, I mean, you know, the colonel, like you mentioned, you know, he had a top secret clearance plus, and he knew lots of other things and some things that a person might consider to be more exciting or something. But, you know, he felt a need to tell his story in Vietnam.
And, of course, nobody would publish it until you came along. He tried for 10 years to get this book published.
Even longer than that. He started writing it. He first started putting together his diary, a military diary in 78, and then started to write it as a book
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Chris Milligan, who's a publisher who published Colonel Daniel Marvin's book, The Expendable Elite. And Colonel Marvin became a Christian, and because he was a Christian, he felt burdened to tell the truth about all the skullduggery he had witnessed and the dishonesty and the violation of all the laws of the United States and the lies to the American people. So he wrote this book, and it took him, how long, many years did it take him to get published, Chris?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell a little bit of the story. I mean, one thing that he did was he sent out, you know, to some of the men that he worked with. He tried to contact men. He found some of them and sent them copies of a manuscript. They commented on it, sent him tapes back, and then he included those into them. And it took him, you know, he started writing it really strongly in 1984, and we published it in 2003. So it took him almost 20 years.
All right. And, of course, he submitted to many publishers.
Over 100.
None of them would dare to publish the book.
And it wasn't because it wasn't true. I mean, I have letters from them where they said, you know, it's not because we don't believe what is true. It's because of the spooky nature of it. And that's really sad because, you know, we as a country, you know, to go forward, we need to understand our past. And we need to understand our history. And when you have organizations such as the Special Forces Association that, you know, do a, you could look at it from an intelligence standpoint, it's called steamroller, where they steamroll over operations so that we, the American public doesn't know. It's not so our enemies don't know anything about it. It's so the American public doesn't know it. And
I think we really need to mention that men in Special Forces are patriots. They're people who risk their lives for our country. They really believe in what they're doing. They just don't understand they're controlled by evil forces. And much of what they've done is evil. And they thought it was in the name of patriotism, and it really wasn't. It was to further the goal of the invisible government for the New World Order and the New World Religion and to fight senseless wars. Go ahead.
And it was such a silly little lawsuit. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous on the face of it. I mean, basically, because the colonel wrote a book, he was stuck in this place, that sticks into Cambodia, and they were shooting into Cambodia in 1966. And, I mean, you know, I have a almanac, and in the almanac it says that we were shooting into Cambodia in May of 66. And the colonel was in a place where it was the indigenous troops that he had were completely paid for by the CIA. He had some of the largest troop amounts of any of the A teams there, and it was just ridiculous. And they said that there was a standing order not to shoot into Cambodia. And because the men violated this, because the colonel said they violated this, and they broke military law, and so they felt bad when they went out. And
they were actually told to go into Cambodia, weren't they? They were actually given secret orders to do that.
Well, the men weren't. The colonel was. Then he was a captain, and he was given an independent covert mission. Where you have, you know, his file is basically being held by DOD, by Department of Defense, and it's handed over to the CIA guy, and it's generally done on a 6-month basis. And we talk right in the book around where the end of the 6 months was coming in. This general came in and allowed it to go on for a longer period of time.
But I think you have to understand that much of Vietnam was really a CIA operation, just as much of Iraq today, and much of Afghanistan is a CIA operation.
Yeah, much of what we hear on the news is not really what is going on there today. I mean, it's sad enough that what we hear on the news is that there are these young men dying. And it's, why are they forcing, men to go through this tragedy? Why are they forcing our country to have to come to grips with this tragedy? And then, you're either pro-war or anti-war and divide the country. I mean, there's no need for all of this.
But you see, it's a stepping stone into a war with Iran and a stepping stone to a war with Syria. And then, of course, while our attention is diverted on the war in the Middle East, we will be losing our freedom here at home. And it will be supported by the American people who think that we're giving up our freedom in the name of fighting terrorism.
Well, that's what they say, but this water's been dripping out of the faucet for so dang long that I'm not buying it. And
well, let's get back, of course, to what happened with this lawsuit, because a lawsuit was lodged against you and against Colonel Marvin. It was lodged by many of the people in the Special Forces, and obviously somebody put up a lot of money in an effort to destroy both you and Colonel Marvin personally and bankrupt you. This was your punishment for telling the truth. So what happened, actually? How much were they suing you for?
They were suing us for $700,000.
All right, fine. Of course, that would have bankrupted you. That's really what they wanted. If they could bankrupt you, they could put you out of business, and that would certainly be a lesson to anybody else who ever wanted to come forward and tell the truth.
Absolutely. And we went to federal district court in Charleston, South Carolina, and stood up, and we just came back and we won. We had a situation where 8 citizens of the great state of South Carolina listened to the evidence and decided that what the colonel said was true and didn't defame his men, which
all the men got up and lied because they'd been threatened. They were going to take away their pensions. They were going to go after them if they didn't get up and perjure themselves. How can you have an honest system when when you have a situation where men are forced to lie with threats of retaliation by the government if they don't lie under oath?
It's quite a question. Also, there was brought into testimony that when you're dealing with covert warfare has complete deniability, including the, you know, the funny little joke, well, you know, if I tell you, I'd have to kill you.
And I understand that they brought a major there, pardon me, a general, who had actually been in Vietnam, who testified none of these things happened, and then your attorneys, well, why don't you tell that story?
Well, no, he was a major general, he was a chief JAG, he wasn't in Vietnam, they brought another gentleman there who'd been in Vietnam, but he testified about how that if what Colonel Marvin wrote was true, then these men would be, guilty of conspiracy and mutiny and a whole bunch of other things. And then our attorney was able to bring out that he had talked about times when a captain had disobeyed an order from a general and that made that captain a hero, and about how covert warfare, you do have deniability and you do have people do things in covert warfare that they aren't charged for. And I mean, the idea that war is fought by rules is for people that haven't been in combat, I guess.
Well, didn't they actually send in a battalion of South Vietnamese troops actually to kill Colonel Marvin and his men?
Well, you know, you can look at it that way. It was really quite a complex situation, and there was an Arvin regiment that was coming. Basically, the situation was at the Wa House, where Colonel Marvin was stationed with. These were a militant Buddhist sect, okay? Were being told that they had to go into the South Vietnamese Army. Well, the Wa House were very proud and independent people, and they would not go into service with where they had to report to somebody other than the Wa How, and they had at times had created their own army and had their own troops and different things. And so the situation was where they had been reported to go to the government, and if they didn't join the government troops, and then there was going to be this big tribunal, and so there was going to be bloodshed in between the Wa Hows and the Arvin regiment. And what Colonel Marvin did was Colonel Marvin actually put himself in the middle and stopped bloodshed between these two forces. And we had all kinds of documentation, and we presented all kinds of documentation. The other side did not present any kind of documentation at all. All they presented was men saying that it didn't happen, that where they were was a resort camp. And we presented evidence and showed that there was dead bodies there and there had been battles. And, you know, I haven't been to very many resorts that have dead bodies.
And, of course, apparently the jurors actually believed you and the Colonel Marvin and disbelieved the men who'd been threatened, with the loss of the retirement pay. And these are older men. These are in their 70s now. Men who courageously fought for their country, threatened by their government and by the special forces that they did not lie and perjure themselves, because obviously the jurors didn't believe them at all. They did believe Colonel Marvin, didn't they?
It was very heartening, and this is the second time because first time their lawyer got gas and went into the hospital and a mistrial was declared, creating more expense for us. So this was the second time, and it had to be a unanimous decision, and the judge came before us and said, well, you know, you can choose for it to be just six jurors, 6-2, and we said yes, and they said no, it had to be a unanimous decision, and it was a unanimous decision. And we're talking, South Carolina, the folks there are very patriotic. I mean, you come into town, you go over the William Westmoreland Bridge, you know.
However, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Chris Milligan. You're not going to read about this trial in your newspaper. You're not going to read that the patriotic men, of course, will be threatened, to force them to perjure themselves. You're not going to read about Colonel Marvin, who I think is a very courageous man, who became a born-again Christian. And because of that, he was willing to tell the truth about what really happened. And, of course, it was just this last week that the trial... ended with a unanimous decision in favor of Colonel Marvin and against the people who probably CIA-funded trial to punish a man who told the truth. Well, Chris, why don't you go ahead and pick up the story there? Anyway, now, how could this have been? The judge, wouldn't it, didn't they, who had to have a unanimous decision? Did it have to be unanimous on one side or the other?
Yes, it had to. They had to agree unanimously. I mean, so one person could have hung the whole thing up. But I believe when our lawyers put on their case, they kept straight to the point. It seemed that their lawyers wandered all over the place and spent their time arguing about whether Martha Ray was lieutenant colonel or not, and all kinds of other crazy things. And if I may, Dr. Stan, put out an appeal there. We did win, but we won at quite a price. We've got a $60,000 lawyer bill at a lawyer's office in South Carolina. We've got a $40,000 lawyer bill at a lawyer's office in Boston, and we paid out about $45,000. So this whole thing, took a lot of money to do this, but. You know, we stood up to these people and won, and I think that shows that really the people don't buy their BS when it really comes to it. And so I find that very heartening to the story, you know, that we've been telling, and that, you know, it is getting through. People are starting to understand, and it's. You know, it is something that needed to be done, because, like you said before, they've been able to go in before and just intimidate people, buy them up, or, you know, and stop the books from being published. And a republic is very important, that, you know, we have information available to us so that we can understand where we've been and where we're going, because especially... where we're in such a situation where we're going is so controlled. I mean, we've had two last presidential elections that have been stolen. And, you know, we need to stand up to these people. They are a paper tiger. They, you know, there is way more of us honest, good people than there are of these corrupt few who are doing so much damage and tragedy.
But of course, Chris, they have unlimited funds. They have the funds of the Central Intelligence Agency, billions of dollars, $44 billion for our intelligence agencies, and it can be used to target anyone they want to. And until we have, of course, people in Congress who are willing to make these people act responsibly and clean house in all of the intelligence agencies and get rid of the wicked people who are working there, we have a lot of wonderful patriotic people. I think most of the people in our military love this country and they're willing to lay their life down for it, but they don't understand that there is an element in our society who has no loyalty to America, but to an internationalist dream of a new world order and a new world religion. And we went into Vietnam. We never went into Vietnam to win. It was a great diversion to take our attention away from what was happening here at home as we began to move in the great society. And we moved, of course, to actually, we found a woman's right to abortion, and we changed our immigration laws. We took God and prayer out of our schools. All of this during the Vietnam War. A great diversion. They knew exactly what they were doing. And it's about time the American people understand the wars are never fought for the reasons we're told. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Chris Milligan, and he and Colonel Marvin have been put to tremendous economic expense. And this was an effort to crush them and destroy them. Why? Because Colonel Marvin had the courage to come forward and tell the truth. And since they, ordinarily, of course, what they would have done was simply put pressure on the publisher to pull the book off the market, and nobody ever would have read it, because Chris was independent. It is not part of the establishment publishing system. Why, of course, they had then to go after them and destroy them. And they would have, and they've destroyed so many good people through the years playing these games. And that's why I hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will give serious consideration to helping Colonel Marvin and Chris, you know, recoup some of the money that they've lost. And Chris, would you like to get your address, your telephone number out so you could find out, you know, people could find out how they could help you? I know we personally donated to the cause to help pay your legal expenses.
You bet. We appreciate that, sir. Yes, thank you. Our snail mail address is Trine Day at Post Office Box 577, Walterville, Oregon 97489. Our phone number is 800-556-2012. And then also we have a site online at expendableelite.com. And there's a button on the front page there. If you press that, it'll take it to a page where you can donate online. And we truly appreciate this. And this, it is a fight that we have taken on unknowingly because, like you said, there's been other publishers. There was a great book out there about the Oklahoma bombing
that was Jana Davis's book, going into the background. In fact, it should be very obvious that Timothy McVeigh and of course, his friend did not do this alone. There was a John Doe 2 and 3 and 4. And Jana Davis had actually had all the information on them, and she got sued by one of the Islamic terrorists who was part of the Oklahoma City bombing. And it was simply an effort to destroy her for telling the truth. Actually, they came down and they bought up her television set, station. They actually came down from New York to buy up the television station to put her out of a job, to stop her from trying to get the American people to understand that there was far more to the Oklahoma City bombing. The government knew ahead of time and they allowed it to happen. And to this very day, all of the videos that were shot in front of the Oklahoma federal building, the Murrah building, the FBI won't release them because of the ongoing investigation.
Mm-hmm. And they got the Terrorist Act passed after it. They got some of the laws in. And, I mean, it's been really sad. But like I say, this verdict has been very, very enheartening. We're going to continue on with the books because there are so many books out there by very very legitimate authors and very legitimate people that have stories to tell that help us understand, like again I say, understand our history so that we can go forward in the correct manner. So we've got, and we'll continue on with Professor Sutton's books, who, he was continued ignored. We'll continue to help Mr. Hopsicker, who continues, the state of investigative reporting has been reduced today is that there's no, most newspapers do not have an investigative reporter. And your biggest investigative reporter is hired by a magazine in this country. And, except, look at you, Dr. Stan. I mean, look at all the things that you've done and you've breaking it. I mean, and how hard, that you worked for it. And, out of the people that listen to you and respect you, I mean, you don't get any due out there in the mainstream either.
Well, the last time I did a national television program, a long, full-hour program, and they took me to New York and they put me in this big, long, white limousine, it was about two blocks long, and put me up in a hotel, and we did the television program, and very shortly thereafter, they fired the host, and it's never been seen again. But anyway, of course, occasionally we can get the truth out. I think it's so vitally important that we understand this is a standard technique. It's used to suppress the truth in America. Our friend Craig Roberts wrote a book, and he'd already had 10 books written and published, and he wrote a book about what was going on politically. His agent took it around, I think, to 10 or 15 of the best publishers in New York. None of them would print it. And then he got a call from a man at Simon & Schuster, one of the senior editors, who said, Craig, you got to get that book out. And Craig said, if it's such a good book, why won't you publish it? The man said, I'd lose my job. Don't you know the CIA has people here stationed in every publisher? If I put that book out, I'd lose my job tomorrow.
This is the country with...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Chris Milligan. And Chris is a publisher. He publishes Colonel Marvin's book, which we do carry. He publishes several books by, certainly a book by my good friend, Professor Sutton, who was at the Hoover Institute. Until, of course, he actually gave a talk before the Republican National Committee in 1972, pointing out that we were financing the North Vietnamese all during the Vietnam War. And, of course, that was the reason we weren't really trying to win the war. We were financing our enemy. He went back to Hoover Institute. When he arrived, his name was gone from the door, his telephone was disconnected, and very shortly thereafter they got rid of him. Why? The Hoover Institute isn't interested in telling the truth. They're interested in concealing the truth, as are so many of the so-called think tanks across America. Because the American people do not understand. We finance the best enemies money could buy. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question at all, we'd love to hear from you. If you agree, you disagree. Well, Chris, you certainly you've had the opportunity to meet Professor Sutton and get his information out too. But he was under tremendous pressure. Everything was done to keep him from getting his books published as well, weren't they?
Oh yes, it's a great line. What they told him was, they says, Professor Sutton, don't break your rice bowl. You know, and he couldn't understand. You know, I mean, he was telling again his third part of his series about Western technology and the Russian technology and the influence of it, on Russian technology, and they wouldn't want him. They didn't want him to publish his third part of the series about the Vietnam War.
It was called Soviet Technology and Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development. It was a three-part series. Is that still available from Hoover Institute? You know?
No, it is not. It is not available anymore. They're getting hard to get, you know, and we'd like to get it out there in publishing, you know, but we've, like I say, I hope there's people out there that can help us, because we're, you know, one of our lawyers, God bless him, he's having to take a hit in pay because we owe his law firm so much, and it's, you know, one thing that I was planning on wanting to do was to bring out more Professor Sutton's books, but the lawsuit has just, you know, very hampered our ability to, you know, to advertise meagerly that we do.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Chris Milligan. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our guest today is Chris Milligan. He's talking about the lawsuit that was just won this last weekend. Despite all the efforts of, I suspect, the CIA and people working within the intelligence agencies, and they brought the lawsuit, in my estimation, to destroy Chris, who published the book, and Colonel Marvin, tried to break them financially. And this is the sort of thing that happens in free America, to suppress the information. And I hope that many of you out there will decide that you're going to stand with Chris and with Colonel Marvin. They're both very courageous people who love America and are trying to preserve it. And if we won't support our own, why, who will? And if we're not willing to support the people on the front lines of the battle, then, of course, we will lose our freedom. So, again, when we'll, a little later, we'll go ahead and get Chris's telephone number. And he and Colonel Marvin have to raise, about $120,000?
That's what it looks like we're going to do, and I didn't have any money when I started this, and like I told the colonel when I first talked to him about his manuscript, I says, Colonel, well, I don't have the money to do it, but I'm sure the good Lord will provide. And the good Lord came along and provided a little money to get the manuscript out there. We need to, you know, come together as much as we can, and there is the power of one. We're each doing what we can. But sometimes we also need to come together.
And I've seen this technique used over and over again to bring lawsuits against people, to intimidate them to get the books off the market. That's what they did with Monica Jensen Stevenson.
Great book.
It really was. It's the book, The Spite House. And they brought a lawsuit against it. They suppressed her first book, shredded 5,000 copies of it. The second book got out there. They didn't want that message out. So they brought a phony lawsuit, and they forced the publisher to withdraw the book. Well, you're going to keep publishing Colonel Marvin's book, aren't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to add another chapter about the lawsuit, and also we have... done a lot of FOIAs and have got a lot of black and white confirmation that they wouldn't allow into the lawsuit, that we would try and put in the lawsuit, and they would kept objecting.
Now, of course, why wouldn't the judge allow it in, though? Wasn't the judge supposed to be impartial? Were these things that would have explained, that there really was an organized, orchestrated effort by people of great wealth associated with certain of the dark side of our government to suppress the truth in the American people?
Well, we didn't present any documentation as to why these people changed their mind. We just showed that what the truth was, because they were saying we libeled them, and your best defense in libel is that, you can call a liar if it's the truth, right? And so the truth is your best defense, and so that's what we presented, that what we were telling was the truth.
And of course, you got a unanimous decision in your favor. It took
Absolutely.
2 hours to realize it, to come to the conclusion that Colonel Marvin was telling the truth, and all of the other men there were lying. Well, they really weren't very convincing, were they?
No, it was very, very, like our lawyer said at the beginning, it was a sad case.
It was a sad case because these were brave men who'd fought for our country. And when they were threatened by their own government, they compromised everything they believed in and betrayed their former leader. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk more about this incredible story. And, of course, we do carry the book called The Expendable Elite. Now, Chris actually had spent a lot of time with another friend of ours, and that was Tony Sutton, and Professor Sutton had really been a scholar at the Hoover Institute and really got involved in trying to find out why the Soviet Union was able to keep functioning so effectively. He found that constantly they were funded by the United States corporations, by United States banks, by the Federal Reserve Board. The Soviet Union was a communist nation, and communism doesn't work. And they would have folded up long ago. They would have folded up in 1920 had it not been for a constant infusions of money and technology into the Soviet Union so they could keep going. And, of course, Henry Ford built a big motor plant for them there. And you found our Federal Reserve Bank, doing everything they could, and people from America coming over there and running their bank. And this is what the American people don't know about. And Professor Sutton, one of his best books was Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, which we do carry. Do you carry that book, or would you be reprinting that when that goes out of print?
We would like to. It all depends. Right now, the copyright holder is the Church Triumphant.
The Church Triumphant? Who's the Church Triumphant?
Elizabeth Clare Prophet.
How did she get hold of the copyright for Professor Sutton's book?
She just owns the copyright to that one, and I do not know.
Is she still around? Because she's deeply involved with this whole world occult movement.
I believe so. I believe, Professor Sutton went through some very tumultuous times of his life. It broke up his family, I do not know how that happened. I suspect it was possibly through a girlfriend that he had at one time.
Well, I think I met that girlfriend myself. Anyway, then, of course, he had another wonderful book. It was called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy.
Very good book.
In fact, we have an interview, a videotaped interview with Professor Sutton, one of the few that's around. It's also called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, a film we did back in 1980, where Professor Sutton points out that the United States funded Russia, the United States funded Adolf Hitler, the United States, and I'm speaking now, not necessarily our government, but certainly our corporations, our banks, and many of our major industrialists actually were even involved in financing the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War by massive aid and technology to Russia that allowed them to provide the massive aid and technology to North Vietnam. And not only that, but we let the communists the money so they would have enough to keep Vietnam going. Because Vietnam was a poor little country about the size of the state of Mississippi, and most people have never understood how that little tiny country, so vulnerable with really relatively few people, and could have possibly stood up against the military might of America for 10 years and won the war. And of course they didn't win the war. Why the people in, they were helped by people in Washington D.C. Who were funding the very people who were funding the North Vietnamese, and of course they would never let our military try to win the war. And I personally talked to Ambassador William H. Sullivan, the ambassador to Laos during that time, and four-star Marine General Lew Walt. Both of them told me if we had won the war in 2 months, we were never allowed to win it.
Absolutely. My father was branch chief, head of all of East Asia. He was in country there in Vietnam in 1956, meeting with Colonel Edwin Lansdale, right after Lansdale took over the Golden Triangle. And what my father told me in 1969, he says the Vietnam War is about drugs. There's these secret societies behind it. Communism's all a sham. These same secret societies are behind it all. It's all a big game. Another thing he told me was, he says, and they're playing out a loose scenario in Vietnam. And I didn't understand him, but my research has shown him to be correct. And what their end game here, what they're working towards, how they're looking to implement their new world order, is rule through the secret societies and rule through China, okay? And again, you were pointing out how, the false dichotomy, communism, capitalism stuff. I mean, remember, China is the big communist country. And Walmart, we have this company by the name of Walmart, and that's how that future is being paid for. It's being paid for by Walmart. Every month we're just, sending buckets loads of money to China each month. In a few years, guess what? They're going to have more money than we do. And they're building a society there that's built upon one-child families and the sociological ramifications of having a society where you only have one child in families is huge. You do not get all the innovation that is generally shown to come from second, third, and fourth kids that sometimes are a little bit more ignored and have a little bit more creativity. And when you have just one child that is the hopes of two people and is always being told to be careful, you get a more conservative, more controlled type society. And so they have the United States, which, they're running the world, and it's not our government. It's these secret societies have taken over our government, because one part of these secret societies' shtick is to make us distrust our institutions. And we need our institute. We need our families. We need our communities. We need our government. I mean, that's how we all deal with each other. It's just that they've taken it over to create this national security state and then use that national security state and all that money against us, plus all their drug money. I mean, you have two companies, two sugar companies. One's bringing in just sugar. The other's bringing in sugar and cocaine. Who's going to be around longer?
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And Chris really got interested in this because his father was with the CIA, who told him that communism's a myth. It's all created, and that's absolutely true. It was the best enemy we could possibly create. And it was financed from America. It was aided at every turn by America, and even during the Vietnam War, why the United States government funded and actually built the largest truck manufacturing plant anywhere in the world at the Kama River. And, of course, it was there in Russia. And those trucks were then used, taken to Vietnam, and then used to carry the weapons down the Ho Chi Minh Trail that were used to kill our boys. Why would you do something like that? so stupid unintentionally. The same thing with the plant at Gorky. The Ford Motor Plant updated, and those trucks were being used to carry the weapons down the Ho Chi Minh Trail to kill American boys. Where do you think that North Vietnam got their sophisticated MiG planes? Where did the North Vietnamese get their sophisticated radar? Do you think they manufactured them in the little huts in North Vietnam? Well, Chris, you know, certainly, how are we going to convince the American people of what's really going on?
Slowly but surely. The American people, you know, they do understand. I mean, it was really nice. I talk about some things that did happen with conspiracy and stuff, so they tried to make me out to be a kook, you know? And they brought up my books about Skull and Bones.
And was this the trial you're speaking of now?
At the trial.
Okay.
The jury did not think I was a kook because I talked about the Order of Skull and Bones, and which I thought, you know, is very telling. I mean, we do have, you know, the Internet is, from a historical perspective, the only thing that we have is Gutenberg's press, okay, that we can look at. And Gutenberg's press got rid of the oligarchy of the day, which if you didn't believe in them, they burned you, and they were going around, you know, you want to get into heaven? How much money you got, you know? And then brought us our republics we are supposed to live in, okay, by all those books that, you know, and the understandings and the ideas that went back and forth. Well, the Internet is, you can find, I mean, they keep trying to get a hold of it and do some things to it, but you can, you know, you've got uncensored flow of information.
At least we have for the time being, and I think really the Internet is such a wonderful source. And, you know, our programs are now heard on four different Internet stations. It's really exciting to know that people all across America can get our programs, you know, on the Internet. They can get them on delayed archive programs. They can get them on MP3. So we can, through the Internet, get the truth out if we can find enough people out there who really value their freedom. We can take America back.
Absolutely. There's way more of us than there are of these secret society folks and their...
And their dark goal of destroying America and merging us into this world government, which is all about, and globalization and sending our jobs overseas. And really, of course, you were talking about Communist China. I mean, Communist China is really an amazing economic accomplishment. You go into some of those cities, they've got far more skyscrapers than New York. But they were all funded with American money and American banking efforts, and it was American corporations and American funds and the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and the Asian Development Fund and the Far East Development Fund, all of them funded with our tax money that has built Communist China into the best potential enemy that money could buy. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Chris, let's get your telephone number out one more time. If people would be willing to help you and Colonel Marvin pay off the debts that you have been forced to run up because of an organized effort on the part of people, I believe, within the intelligence agencies who wanted to crush you.
Our phone number is 1-800, and thank you, sir, 1-800-556-2012, and then also they can reach us on the Internet through expendableelite.com.
And is there an address where they could send anything?
Yes, Post Office Box 577, Walterville. That's Walter and Ville at the end, the gentleman's name, Walterville, Oregon, 97489.
One more time, the address.
Post Office Box 577, Walterville, Oregon, 97489. And thank you.
And, of course, if they did want to help you, how would they make the checkout?
They would make the checkout to Trine Day, a Marvin Defense Fund, or they can just make it out to Trine Day.
All right, fine. Well, I think that what you've done and by the fact that you're willing to stand up there. Now, was the judge impartial? Do you think were you impressed by the way that the judicial system worked, at least there in the Carolinas?
Yes, I was. I was a little disappointed that the whole thing got all the way to trial. But no, the judge, there are people that talk about, you know, our system is self-correcting, and it can be self-correcting if it is allowed to work properly.
And if you can actually get the jurors to be allowed to hear the truth.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's very important for us to, you know, hold on to our ability to read our own history and not allow these people to go in and steamroll and cover up, things that we have done, whether, you know, they are good or bad. I mean,
It's all a matter of keeping everything secret. Now, who put up all the money? It must have taken a lot of money to bring this lawsuit against you.
It was Special Forces Association was brought out in trial that they were funding the lawsuits.
And, of course, there's people in Special Forces are patriots. They really believe in what they're doing without realizing, of course, that they're working for very dark forces. Because, of course, they work in concert with the CIA. And what they don't understand is that there is within the CIA a sinister force. Many people from the Skull and Bones go into the CIA. And, of course, it was people within the Skull and Bones that brought us the First World War and the Second World War. And, of course, the current war. So pray for America, and we're going to be back here in just a moment. Chris, I want to thank you. Well, now we've got about 3 more minutes before we let you go. So if anybody would like to call, the number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Chris Mulligan, and of course, he and Colonel Marvin have been victorious in this harassment lawsuit that was brought against them to punish them for telling the American people the truth. And just as today, you want to get the information of what happened with the Kennedy assassination, so much of it is, it's classified in the name of secrecy. And if you want to know what happened at the Oklahoma City bombing, oh, we can't let that information out. There's an ongoing investigation. What about 911? What happened that morning when those buildings hit when the planes hit the building? Oh, we can't tell you what really happened there. It's information is classified because we don't want Osama bin Laden to know. Well, the truth of the matter is, they don't want the American people to know. So how are we going to get the truth out there, Chris? I mean, you're going to continue, but how are we going to get more publishers to be willing to do what you're doing so that it won't be so easy to target one individual or a couple of individuals?
Well, you know, again, it goes back to Officer McClam and he talks about the power of one, and other people have talked about it, and all of us, you know, just need to do what we can do, and if people can help us out, thank you very kindly. But everybody just has to keep on doing what they can do. Talk to your neighbor, talk to your people at work, you know. I mean, I understand that sometimes people don't want to hear this, but, you know, what kind of a country are we going to leave our children? What kind of an opportunity are their children's children going to have? You know, are they going to even have any inkling of the freedom that I remember from my youth? And, you know, the ability to make mistakes, the ability to learn. And, you know, I just, the future that I see that my children are going to have to live in.
Well, it's a pretty dim future unless we can get our freedom back, unless we can have truly representative government, unless we can expose these secret societies. Ladies and gentlemen, there are all sorts of secret societies, not one or two. I mean, 5 of our last 12 presidents have been Masons, and one other was the high-ranking de Molay. 6 of our last 12 presidents have come from the Council on Foreign Relations, 2 of them from the Skull and Bones, and that's 14. And they're only, I'm talking about 12 presidents, but some of these people are real joiners. You have to understand there are powerful forces out there, and we've got to expose them, because they have one thing in common, all these secret societies, an intense hatred of America and a dedication to a new world order and a new world religion. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Chris Milligan. Hey, Chris, thanks very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan, and thank you for your yeoman's job that you do every day, bringing to light all these sordid affairs.
Oh, God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Chris Milligan, and of course, he and Colonel Marvin have just actually triumphed in the lawsuit that was brought by, I believe, probably funded through the intelligence agencies to crush them for telling the truth, at least a little part of the truth about what really happened in Vietnam. If you'd like to read Colonel Marvin's book, why it's called The Expendable Elite, we do carry it. Oh, we carry another book where Colonel Marvin tells about how he was requested to be an assassin to actually kill a man who knew a great deal about the Kennedy assassination. Colonel Marvin didn't write the book, but we do carry it. It's called Without Smoking Gun, a fascinating insight into the background of the murder of an American president. We do have two 4-tape sets I'd like to mention to you. One of them is called The Men We Left Behind. It's the story of the men who were abandoned in Vietnam, and my interviews there with Monica Jensen Stevenson, who written the book, They Kissed the Boys Goodbye, and of course the other is the book, is the 4-tape set called One Man Returned. That's One Man Returned. Had another interview there, or Only One Returned is the title, and the interview there with Monica Jensen Stevenson, who tells how they just accidentally shredded 5,000 of her books, Kiss the Boys Goodbye. That's how it's really done, and ladies and gentlemen, and you have to understand the media is controlled. We also carry a book by Professor Ben Bigdakian called The New Media Monopoly. Professor Bigdakian began studying control of the media back in 1983 and how they shape our ideas and our views and our attitudes. And of course, you're pointing out in 1983, there were 50 major corporations that controlled the media. By 2004, when the book was published, why there were 5 mega corporations that controlled what we read, what we hear, what we see, and ultimately what we believe. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you really want to understand what we're up against, you need to get our pamphlets on The Occult Hierarchy, and the 3 pamphlets, $9.95 for all 3 of them. You need to get the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You need to get our 4-tape set on the supernatural, my interviews with Joanna Michelson, who was a medium, who was actually into spiritual healing, and saw some of the great miracles. But of course, he did not come from the side of the God of the Bible, but from the other side. And then, of course, her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, by Joanna Michelson, a book written on the leading Satanist who was involved with British intelligence during the first half of the last century. The man's name was Aleister Crowley. And, of course, the book about him is entitled Blood on the Altar, and our 4-tape set on the supernatural has information on Aleister Crowley. We actually have another 4-tape set entitled Aleister Crowley and His Friends. Deeply involved with intelligence agencies, Aleister Crowley was a Satanist and formed the Ordo Temporalis and the OTO, and of course, he was associated with the Order of the Golden Dawn. Secret societies most of you have never heard of, because you're not supposed to hear them. So all of these are available. Blood on the Altar, The Beautiful Side of Evil, our 4-tape sets on Aleister Crowley and the Supernatural, The Men We Left Behind, Only One Returned, and of course you can get our Vietnam special, which has not only that, but a great deal of other information about what's really going on. And of course, you go give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, we hope many of you will consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.